For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
(727) 579-1025 and 800-771-1025. Two sports related things. Number one, we have the 9-minute goal call, I guess.
Oh man, this is great.
This is from last night's game?
Yes.
The game was 2-0 before it even began. And then was 5-1 at the final.
5-2?
5-2 in the final. That's how much I care about women's soccer.
This is some of the best sports commentating I've ever heard.
All right.
Para este nuevo tiro libre vino otra vez por abajo de taco, cae en el área chica, viene gol.
Cameron Lloyd scored another goal.
Yeah. And then there's, you want to hear another one? Or are you good?
Yeah, no, give me more. This is much better than watching the soccer game itself.
Wow. This is not edited at all.
They didn't, like, loop it?
No.
The United States. That guy's very excited about his sports.
Did you watch the World Cup, Seth?
Yeah, I watched it for, like, 20 minutes, then Phoebe said this is boring.
So. Because I was thinking that if you watch it, it'd probably sound something like this.
Para este nuevo tiro libre vino otra vez por abajo de taco, cae en el área chica, viene gol.
There we go!
Very similar.
Estados Unidos, otra vez, Carly Lloyd.
Probably sounded a lot like that.
That's how I pictured it.
That was very good. That's very good. Hey, Gio just set me up. Hey, did you watch it? Yeah, I watched about 20 minutes. Oh. Here, I'm glad you did.
Can I play it again?
Please.
Abajo de taco cae en el área chica, viene gol.
There we go!
That's excellent.
I love soccer.
Now, can you please find the, if you're going to do a demo tape to try to work in another radio station, don't leave your stuff laying around. This to me sounds like you're trying to audition for a sports station. Do you have it?
I do. I see Kayla turn me in.
She ratted you out.
And now, Omaha! 1025 The Bone, real raw sports update.
This sports report is brought to you by Firkins Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. The Rays lost last night 6-2. They take on the Cleveland Indians tonight at the Trop with Alex Colome on the bump. Good news is the Rays are still tied for first place with Baltimore. In soccer news, your FIFA update, the U.S. Women's World Cup team won last night 2-0 over Germany. They take on the winner of England and China in the finals on Sunday. Bring home that trophy.
That was good.
Bring home that. Are you auditioning for a sports station?
No, I was freestyling it, so I didn't write my lines.
Bring home that trophy.
Bring home that trophy.
So I don't know anything about soccer.
So what are you doing?
I'm trying to see if 620 will hire me. What do you think?
You're overqualified.
That was for John Brennan. he asked me to do some sports stuff for the station, so okay. I had to cut a demo.
You're not looking to spread your wings or anything?
No, I mean, if anybody's hiring, I'll accept all offers, but that's for this station.
Okay, good.
That's pretty good.
I liked it. Except they bring home that trophy.
Okay, well, listen, I don't know, man.
When I first got a radio, I worked at a sports talk station, and I had to do these updates like this.
Right.
They're very hard. And I used to have a tape of me just crashing and burning on the air, because there's nothing you can do. The bed just runs.
Sure.
And you've got 30 seconds, and you either nail it, or you just, you know, totally just destroy yourself.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah.
If Seth had tried to put together a demo tape of the soccer game, and he wanted to use one of the Spanish-speaking station's commentary with his own voice over it, what do you think that would have sounded like? It probably would have sounded a lot like that. So can you just freestyle any sports any sports results at all? Like, do you know anything going on tonight in the world of sports?
Yeah, I mean, there's some baseball going on.
All right.
I don't know who the Rays are playing at all.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your Real Raw Sports Update. My name is Seth the Sports Slut. Make sure you check out WWE Raw tonight on the USA Network. I'm not sure who's wrestling, but if you don't have the USA Network, Gio will give you his password. The USA Women's World Cup team won last night. I'm not sure why I'm doing this voice, but they took down Japan 5-2. Did anybody remove their shirt? You have to tune into the next sports report to find out. This was brought to you by Fox's Packing Boxes. We're here for you when you're in need of a move. This has been Seth the Sports Slut with your Real Raw Sports Update. He gone!
That was good. By the way, did he say China in the sports update that we have? I'm getting tweets that said he said China instead of Japan.
Are you setting me up for a joke?
No. I'm just saying people are tweeting me and saying that you said they play the winner
in the
of
finals, England and China.
Oh, damn!
They take on the winner of England and China in the finals.
That is Seth. They all look alike to me, Kushner, ladies and gentlemen.
That's just that wasn't going on air at all. It didn't matter.
Dirty knees. Look at these. Bring home that trophy, girls. Kayla, what's up? Welcome to Drew Garabo Live.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
The amazing sports business that was just happening from Seth reminded me of whenever I was in high school and I did TV production.
Right.
Because we knew nothing about the sports we were covering, so we did the Bring Home That Trophy, Boys. And it was really... So it reminded me of myself as a high school news anchor. So thank you for bringing back that little bit of nostalgia for me, Seth.
Oh, we're here for you. Thank you so much for the phone call, young lady. Have a great day.
I love how people are calling me out about a fake sports update.
It's great.
Hello. Are you still listening? Good. It's the Drew Garabo Live Hidden Track of the Day. Enjoy.
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, one of the more recognizable voices you'll ever hear in your entire life, Mr. George Takei himself. Hello, George.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Just great. I'm in Florida already, not quite in St. Petersburg. I'm here in Boca Raton.
Oh, that is beautiful. That is Spanish for mouth of the rat. Did you know that?
Oh, I said, yo puedo hablar español.
Oh, así es que tú hablas español. Tomé 4 sí. años en mi escuela secundaria, pero no recuerdo mucho palabras, señor.
Usted puede conversar muy bien.
Muchas gracias.
Nací en el barrio mexicano de Los Ángeles, East LA.
Sí, that's where you were born, correct?
That's right.
Who knew?
You understood my Spanish. I thought this we were going to do this in Spanish.
We could, but I just reached the limit of my Spanish knowledge, so I would be better off showing off that I can still remember how to count to 10 in Japanese. If I'm not mistaken, Ichi ni san shi go roku shichi hachi ku ju. Is that right?
Very good. では日本語で話しましょうかこれも。
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking. Anyway, we've got George on the phone with us.
You know, good for you. You're one of the rare Americans who speak another foreign language.
Well, yeah.
You know, Americans are famously monolingual.
Yes, we are. And monolingual and bisexual, I like to say. Not me, of course, but America at large. Just some are afraid to admit it. Unlike yourself.
Well, it's better to be bilingual and monosexual.
Well, if you say so. I think both ways could be a whole lot of fun, depending on the company you choose to keep.
Exactly.
All right, now let's talk about you coming to St. Petersburg this weekend, because I can't even begin to tell you how I have watched your career from when I was a small child and my dad was hopelessly addicted to Star Trek. I've seen you go from a brilliant character who is beloved by many, of course, and I'm sure stalked by many at many conventions, and then
and went on to become the captain of his own starship.
Yes, and
the only one of the original cast who went on to become a captain.
Well, of course, you had that power all along. But what I like the most about you and your career is the resurgence that you have experienced, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, as the announcer of the greatest radio program in the history of radio, the Howard Stern Show. Could you talk to me just for a minute about how that came to be, how that relationship came to fruition?
Well, you know, when we actors are in doing any project, whether we're doing a play in New York or we have a movie coming out or a TV show that we're in, we go on the air to promote it. And I was doing a play in New York, and one day the publicist list had this radio station on Madison Avenue way back then, and I was to go there and talk about the show that I'm doing. Well, it happened to be the Howard Stern Show. I didn't know Howard from Adam. I walked in there, and there's this wild-haired guy, and I said, good morning, and he said, oh, you have a deep voice. You must, with a voice that deep, you must have a big dong. I said, are we on the air? And that was my introduction to Howard back in 1990.
Wow.
And ever since then, he's been pranking me by a phone call or by using the my recorded voice.
Oh,
and
yes.
And putting it in out of context, you know, and he's been sort of like a nettle in the side until what was it, 2005.
Yep.
I spoke to the press for the first time as a gay man, and that intrigued Howard. And I still remember the day, January 2nd, 2006. It was a year after I came out. And it was Gary Delabate with an invitation for me to be the official announcer on the Howard Stern Show, because he was going on Sirius for the first time. And I thought it was a prank. But Gary said, no, don't hang up. And he finished making the offer. And I said, well, usually you go to my agent. As it turned out, Howard and I had the same agent.
Oh.
So he went to Don Buchwald.
Sure.
And the rest is history.
Wow.
They got me on the show as the it isn't the whole history.
Right.
They wanted me as a regular on the show every week. And I had to say to Howard, you know, I'm an actor. I really enjoy my career. So, and I would enjoy being on your show, but not as a regular. And so I promised that I'll be on the show every 3 months, every quarter of the year. And that's how this came about.
And, you know, it evolved into, and I'm sure you didn't expect the deeply probing personal questions that he would get into about you and Brad and what you do on Sundays. But I'll tell you, as a listener, as a regular Stern listener still to this day, the detail that you seem to go into, and then immediately I can hear the regret in your voice that you have overshared, because you know that Howard's going to latch on to something like that. And then when you get home to Brad, you're going to have to answer these questions about you questioning his workout ethics. And it seems to me like you speak so honestly because you forget that you're broadcasting to all these people, especially your significant other, Brad. And then you have to, how difficult is it afterwards to have the conversation with Brad? Like, well, when I said that you don't work out as much as you could, I really meant.
I pay the price for it.
I beg you
do.
In
many different ways.
Yes.
Either the silent treatment or a harangue or he has his ways of, Brad has his ways of getting back at me. And so I have to woo him right back. And I think that's what keeps my marriage going.
That is so awesome. We're speaking with George Takei, An Evening with George Takei, this weekend, Saturday, October 4th, takeiqna.com for tickets and details. Now, I've jumped way ahead in your life. I would love to touch on where you came from and what you went through in your early life. Is it true that you were born and when you immediately lived in some sort of horse stables?
Well, not right after I was born. I was 4 years old when Pearl Harbor was bombed. Mm. And this country was swept up in war hysteria. And then in February of 1942, President Roosevelt signed Executive Order 90666, which ordered all American citizens of Japanese ancestry on the West Coast to be summarily rounded up with no charges, with no trial, with no due process, which is a central pillar of our justice system,
sure,
to be rounded up and put in barbed wire prison camps. Well, on April 20th, I turned 5 years old. And 3 weeks after that, my parents got my brother, my baby sister, and me up very early one morning, and they hurriedly dressed us, and my brother and I were in the living room looking out the front window, and we saw two soldiers come marching up. Mm. They had bayonets on their rifles. It was shining in the sun. They stomped up the front porch, banged on the door. My father answered it, and literally at gunpoint, we were ordered out of our home.
God.
We'd done nothing wrong. We were innocent people who happened to look like the people that bombed Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
And we were taken from our home. You know, the camps weren't built yet.
Right.
So we were taken from our home and taken to the horse stables of San Anita Racetrack. So from a two-bedroom home in a Los Angeles suburb, we had a front lawn and a backyard and all that, into a narrow, smelly horse stable. All five of us, my parents and the three kids.
Ugh.
It was one for my parents. It was a degrading, humiliating experience. But you know, for me as a kid, I thought it was fun to sleep where the horsies. You know, if you breathe deeply, you can smell the horsies.
I bet.
My mother hated me saying that.
I bet she did. Now, was that something, George, that burned inside you through your adolescence and young adulthood? Was it one of those, I have to overcome these things? Or were you able to compartmentalize, store it away, and go, I will never forget where I came from, and any success that I have will be filtered through that?
Well, it was when I became a teenager. You know, and I heard a speech by Dr. Martin Luther King, which inspired me.
Mm.
And I became active in the civil rights movement. And I was reading history books and civics books and learning about the ideals of American democracy. And I couldn't reconcile that with my childhood imprisonment.
Sure.
And so after dinner, I had long, sometimes heated discussions with my father about the internment. And the wisdom that I got from my father was, he said, our democracy is a people's democracy. And the people can be great, but it can also be fallible. In fact, people are fallible. And he said, our democracy is so vulnerable because it's so dependent on good people who passionately love the ideals, the best ideals of our democracy. And one Sunday afternoon, he took me downtown to the Adlai Stevenson for President headquarters. And we volunteered. Actually, he volunteered me. I wasn't a volunteer. He took me down and he volunteered us for to serve as volunteers on the presidential campaign. And there I met all these passionate people who were so inspired by Governor Stevenson. And, you know, we heard his speeches on TV, his debates, and he was an extraordinary man. And we worked hard, leafleting, making phone calls, doing all sorts of things, marching in demonstrations with his posters and so forth. But he didn't win. Mm. But my father said, you know, in a democracy, you don't give up. You keep on keeping on. And I became active in a lot of political campaigns. Later on, I became involved in the peace movement in the Vietnam War.
Sure.
And then in the 70s, in the Japanese-American community, the movement began to get an apology and redress for the unconstitutional imprisonment. And I testified at a congressional hearing.
Yep.
In the early 70s, I think it was. And in 1988, finally, the Congress passed the Civil Liberties Act.
Yep.
And President Reagan officially, on the part of the U.S. government, apologized for that unconstitutional imprisonment.
That'd be gratifying.
My father said, you know, democracy takes a long time to work, but it ultimately will right itself.
What a great lesson to be learned in your life. We're speaking with George Takei, takeiq&a.com for tickets and details about the wonderful event this Saturday. To become one of the first prominent Asian Americans on television, paving the way for, I believe, Jack Sue on Barney Miller and Noriyuki Pat Morita as Arnold on Happy Days. There were not a lot of Asians on TV at the time. Today, when you look at the television landscape, are you happy with the representation that you see, or do you still think there's work to be done, George?
It's a changed world. There's work to be done, but it's a changed world now. Look at these TV series. You know, they're if a series is located in any big city, New York or L.A. or Chicago or San Francisco, you know, you see the diversity of America represented.
Yep.
If it's a hospital show, you see, you know, all the ethnic groups, or a police show, or a school show. The person who's taken over the role of Sulu in Star Trek, John Cho, has a new series out called Selfies, where he's teaching a white girl to be much more independent of being obsessed with selfies. And there's going to be a love interest suggested there. So, yes, it's changed dramatically.
Good.
But we haven't reached the same point where the African-Americans have, because African-Americans today have bankable stars. And when you have a bankable star, then the story's told from the vantage point of the bankable star.
Right.
And if it's a Denzel Washington or a Morgan Freeman, you get the African-American perspective. We don't have that yet.
All right.
We have a ways to go yet, but we've come a long, long ways from when I started out.
You certainly have. And I'll tell you what you've done, just as an armchair observer, as a straight dude who's been consuming media almost my whole life, what you've done on The Howard Stern Show, not just to provide levity and a touch of class, if you will, but when you were in there as part of your bachelor party and they brought in the male strippers and one dude is whipping out his gigantic dong in front of you and you can barely contain yourself, what you did there was show us straight guys that you go through the same thing we would do if it were a female stripper in front of us, the restraint you have to show, thinking about your partner, listening to it. We were able as straight dudes to kind of empathize with you a little bit and go, oh my gosh, I wouldn't touch the wiener, but if I'm in that situation, I might be acting the same way. So I have to give you kudos for that, because it really does teach us as straight, mostly ignorant guys, about what it's like to really be in that situation when a dude is waving his dong right in front of your face.
Well, I hope I humanize and shattered the stereotypes that people might have about gay people. You know, we're not all these stereotypes, you know, the drag queens and the cartoons that they have. As a matter of fact, that was both delicious and excruciating. And I paid the price for it when I got home. Boy, did I pay the price.
I bet you did. Listen, George, it has been an extreme pleasure speaking with you. I hope everyone comes out to see you as part of the St. Pete Clearwater Film Commission exclusive event and evening with George Takei this Saturday, October 4th. Just very quickly, if you wouldn't mind, it's guacamole, right? It is not guacamole. It is guacamole.
No, 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 the opposite. It's guacamole.
No.
The G is silent.
No,
guacamole.
No, you don't say guava, do you? You say guava. It's guacamole.
That's right, because that's not a Spanish word.
Oh.
But in Spanish, like water is agua, not agua, as so many people want to say.
I love the way you say
agua.
That. Musculature.
Agua.
Agua. Agua.
Guacamole.
Guacamole. And it is tsunami.
Tsunami. Yes, there is a T there.
So not
S-U-N-A-M-I.
A slight
it's
T. A little
tsunami.
Little T's of the T, a little tsunami like that.
Exactly.
Perfect. George,
exactly.
You are a gentleman, a scholar, an inspiration, a role model for all, and you are an excellent spokesperson for both the Asian American and gay community. I congratulate you on your success,
and
sir.
And English-speaking community.
Yes.
And Spanish-speaking community.
Si, señor. It has been an extreme
Hablo
pleasure speaking
español.
With you. Oh, sí. Y me gusta mucho hablando contigo. I wish you continued success and good fortune.
Me gusto.
See,
first person.
I need a brush up on my Spanish, and this is just the guy
brush
to get it to
your
me.
Spanish.
I will. I'm sorry. I'll work on that by Saturday. I hope things go very well for you in Boca Raton, and then when you get up here to St. Pete, Clearwater, I hope you have a wonderful time, and thank you again for your time. And you'll be speaking with Mike Calta tomorrow morning, very good friend of mine. I promised him that I would not flirt with you during this interview because he wants you all to himself. I hope that I haven't been too forward for you or made you feel uncomfortable with my ways.
I've enjoyed chatting with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very
May
much.
You live
George.
Long and prosper.
Right back at you, pal. Thank you so much and have a great
thank
day.
You.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.